You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I've known Joe Biden a long time.
Yeah. And,
do I think he's lost a step at age 80? Sure.
Well, what are you talking about?
Hard to believe. 13 days. 13 years ago.
$1.7 trillion.
You really have lost a step.
Matter of fact, I like babies better than people.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't even know where it's going. I just hope I find it along the way.
So during Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been.
So if the Democratic Party is a part of shutting down a platform that they have used to build community, it can harm us politically in 2024.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
That's fake news. This is not Howie Carr. This is actually Caroline Levitt.
Very
filling in.
Dish.
For the great Howie Carr today. Welcome back, guys. We had a great first hour. Looking forward to another great hour with you before I turn it over to Jess Machado, who you guys know as well. I have a quick question before we jump into this segment. Where in the world is John Fetterman? Where is he? We haven't heard from him. Last we heard, he was seeking mental health treatment, and that's no joke. I wish him well. But we haven't had an update on it since. The people of Pennsylvania deserve a representative who's there, who's around.
And the Eagles are so much better than the Eagles.
It's funny, but it's not, because he's an elected United States senator. Good grief. Anyways, we got a lot to get to in this next hour, and we've been talking a lot today about TikTok. As you know, there have been hearings down on Capitol Hill with the CEO of TikTok, Shou Chu. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have been grilling the CEO over the past couple of days, getting to the bottom of what TikTok is doing to the 150 million Americans, many of them young Americans who are using their app. They are stealing our intellectual property and data. This is a national security concern for our country. And joining us now is one of the lawmakers who has been so effective in grilling the CEO of TikTok. She is on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Congresswoman Kat Kamick from the great state of Florida. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining me on the Howie Carr Radio Show today.
Hey, glad to be with you. Good to hear your voice, Caroline.
Oh, thank you so much. And I must add, Congresswoman Kamick is or was the youngest female lawmaker. Did someone break your record yet, Kat?
I'm not sure if I'm still the youngest. I know last Congress I was, but I hope someone did.
Well,
it's been a wild start to the year, so we haven't had time to check
in on that. Well, nevertheless, you are a great congresswoman, very effective this week. I saw some videos of you grilling the CEO of TikTok yesterday, and you pointed out that an internal memo from TikTok showed that ByteDance and TikTok, they exchanged some correspondence telling one another to, quote, downplay the China association between their companies. Can you please speak to the severity of this for our viewers and give us some insight into how the CEO responded to your line of questioning yesterday on the Hill?
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. There was a lot of great questions posed by my colleagues and, heck, even from the other side of the aisle, who knew that TikTok would be the unifying force for Republicans and Democrats in Washington. But, you know, one of the things that was very disturbing was in the written testimony and the subsequent oral testimony of the CEO of TikTok, he said that we're trying to be transparent repeatedly, at least a half a dozen times. We're trying to be transparent. We're completely open as to our corporate structure, et cetera, et cetera. But yet we found internal memos from TikTok that said to senior management, when you are speaking about the company, downplay the China connection, downplay the ByteDance connection, which is their parent company headquartered in China with members of the CCP that sit on their board. And I had to ask the question, if you have nothing to hide, if you are trying to act in good faith and be transparent, why would you have an internal memo circulating saying the opposite? And he couldn't answer for that. And then you couple that with the millions of dollars that they have spent in lobbying Congress, hiring very expensive lobbyists, taking out advertising campaigns, flying in influencers, trying to sell Congress on the safety of TikTok. And it really has been a waste. You know, all of the preparation for the CEO leading up to this point was to basically tell him to pivot out and to talk about the future, when in reality, we wanted to talk about how the CCP has been harvesting our data as a result of 150 million Americans using the app TikTok. And he couldn't answer for that.
Right. He can prep all he wants, but he can't run from the truth. And you were great at pointing out that truth. And in those videos I saw, he just kept dodging the question, and he was not addressing their gathering of this intelligence and this data on young people. You know, Congresswoman, this has been an issue that has actually brought some bipartisanship to D.C., which is something we don't see often, except for a few Democrats in the far left of the Democrat caucus. And I want to play this soundbite from your Dem colleague, Jamal Bowman. Taylor, cut three, please. And I want your reaction, Congresswoman Kamik.
Why the hysteria and the panic and the targeting of TikTok? As we know, Republicans in particular have been sounding the alarm, creating a red scare around China. They've been doing it in a variety of ways when it comes to economic competition, when it comes to semiconductor manufacturing, and when it comes to technology. In terms of TikTok's behavior and its risk to national security, it poses about the same threat that companies like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter pose. So let's not marginalize and target TikTok.
Marginalize and target TikTok. And I think he went on to say that the Republicans' concern about this is xenophobic. So are you a xenophobe, Congresswoman Kanick, or are you just sticking up for the privacy and security of the great American people?
You know, it seems to be the default setting of members of the squad to constantly play the race card and xenophobia or bigotry or sexism whenever they can't actually couch their arguments in data, facts, and reality. Mm-hmm. If he had taken the time to go to the SCIF, which is available to all members of Congress, and read some of the intelligence reports, he would understand the threat that they pose. And while he and I may disagree on a lot, I think that we all collectively, Republicans and Democrats, we can agree that social media companies have got way too much of our personal data. Warrantless, I should also add. But you think about what he's saying. He's saying that it's okay for TikTok to use our data. They're harvesting our data. They're not harvesting it to sell it. They're harvesting this data for nefarious purposes, because what they're doing by using a behavioral algorithm versus what Meta uses, which is an algorithm based on what you like and who you follow, the behavioral algorithm is designed to keep you engaged on the app, because while you are on the app, what they're doing is they're tracking your keystrokes, downloading all of the data off of your phone. If you're using your home Wi-Fi, they're tapped into that and all of the users that are using your home Wi-Fi. They're building a profile on you and your lifestyle and your family and your friends. In India, when India banned the platform at risk for the risks that it was posing for Indians, they said, well, we can't get rid of the data that's already been harvested. And there was internal memos from Beijing that were talking about how they would utilize that data should they ever go to war.
Wow.
With India.
And that's
this is scary stuff.
Right. It's an intelligence gathering strategy for them. And our young people, I can speak to that. They're my generation. They think it's just this fun, creative dancing app, when in reality it's being weaponized by the CCP, our greatest enemy. Before I let you go, Congresswoman, one more question for you, and I think this is something probably a lot of our listeners are thinking right now, and I hope you can answer it for us. What are the chances of this ban actually coming down? What are the logistical barriers you guys face to implementing this ban? And do you think this is a real solution that Congress can come together and get done for the American people, especially young Americans across this country who absolutely love this very dangerous app?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the thing, is we want to protect Americans' constitutional rights while simultaneously protecting our national security. And so the challenge is you've got 150 million Americans who they're already on the platform. So as far as the data that's been harvested, that cat's kind of already out of the bag. But what we can do is we can move forward with a national data privacy piece of legislation that really sets the stage moving forward. Like so many things in Washington, we're behind the curve. You know, industry continually is evolving, and that's the great thing about our economy and the innovators within our system, is they're moving so fast. But we just don't have a government that is keeping pace.
Right.
And so we really need to lean into this national privacy standard before we lose the momentum. I think a ban is something that we could see in the short term, but the real solution is talking about the warrantless data collection that has been happening on American citizens for years without any consequence, how that data has been used, and how can we empower Americans to take their data back and be in control of their data. I think that there should be an opportunity for Americans, if they say, you know, hey, I want my data to be sold for targeting purposes or whatever, they should be compensated for that. I think that we should empower Americans and put them back in the driver's seat. But we've got a long way to go, but we've got momentum at our back.
Well, we certainly do with great fighters like you in Congress. Thank you so much, Congresswoman Kat Kamak, for joining the Howie Carr Radio Show. And I hope to see you back in New Hampshire soon. I know you've been a frequent visitor of the state. So thank you so much, Congresswoman. It's Congresswoman Kat Kamak from Florida. And this is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show. We're going to take a quick break. We got another great interview coming up. Don't go anywhere.
And if you're making any changes to your life this year, I've actually found that the smallest changes to your routine can make the biggest impact. In the same way, you don't have to break the bank to make a big deal purchase. Even the smallest things can be a part of a big change if it's something you use every day, like my Raycons. Last year, even before the new year, I resolved to start going to the gym more often, taking care of myself, maybe just getting outside a little more often. And I need some audio stimulation in my life, so I need my Raycons every single day, and they're a great addition to any routine that you find yourself a part of. Whether you're looking for a pair of everyday earbuds, low-latency gaming headphones, or a speaker with a battery that will last all night at your next party, if you're thinking about barbecues during the summer already, Raycon has got you covered. And yep, Raycons start at the half the price of other premium audio brands. They have custom gel tips for the perfect, most comfortable in-ear fit. They're not going to fall out. Crystal clear call quality. Every time I talk to my wife on my Raycon, she always remarks, "Boy, it's so clear hearing you. It's just better than using your actual phone." And water and sweat resistance, 8 for the everyday earbuds or 11 for the everyday speaker hours of playtime. That's a big deal. If you're ready to buy something small with a big impact, go to buyraycon.com/Howie today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Be a part of the show. Call 844-500-4242. And mind your manners.
People lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
The Howie Carr Show will return in a moment. Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show. Thanks for tuning in and happy Friday. Congratulations, you made it through another week in Joe Biden's America. We have a poll question today that is sponsored by HelloFresh. In this spring, HelloFresh is delivering great tasting recipes. This is true. I've actually used HelloFresh and it's great. Like Dietitian Win options that are 700 calories and protein smart choices with 30 grams or more of protein. Go to HelloFresh.com/Howie60. That's code Howie60 to get 60% off. It's a big deal. Plus free shipping. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are our results?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is do you think TikTok presents a threat to the United States?
Well, we just heard from a sitting lawmaker in Washington, D.C., who gave us the facts as to why it is. So I'm a yes. What do our viewers think?
Some more were convinced by her. 89% say yes, it is a threat.
Wow. That's one of the highest ratios that I've seen in the few poll questions I've been part of, right? It's almost unanimous, 100%.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is. Hopefully they'll actually get something done about it down in Washington, D.C., but who knows? 844-500-4242. This is Caroline Levitt filling in for Howie Carr. Please feel free to call in. We got about a half hour left with each other today, and I want to hear from you. In the meantime, though, I want to bring up some breaking news over the past couple of days that's near and dear to my heart. Those of you who don't know me, I was a candidate in 2022 in New Hampshire for Congress. I was the nominee in New Hampshire's first district. I'm also a former collegiate athlete. I played Division II college softball. So it really pisses me off to see men that are physically and biologically superior to women. And I'm not afraid to say that. It is the truth. God made men and women different.
It is man.
God made men and women very different. Men have a different chemical makeup than women. They have larger bone density. They have greater lung capacity. As women, we should not be afraid to say that. But it really pisses me off when I see men competing in female athletics. Well, some news that I'm finally glad to see. The World Athletics Council has a new ruling to exclude transgender men, transgender women, I guess, from female events. The World Athletics voted to ban transgender women from elite female competitions if they have undergone male puberty. And this is just common sense. I can't even believe they have to have rulings to set these rules in the first place. The governing body said that it made this decision to protect the future of the female category.
How are they able to do this? Are any of them biologists?
I think many of them are just people with eyes. People with eyes and ears. And they said that their vote was guided by the overarching principle of fairness. Well, I'm glad to finally see fairness in science win. Men should not be allowed to compete in female athletics, period. And before we go to these callers, I want to tease this next interview because I will be joined by Riley Gaines. She is an NCAA Division I collegiate swimmer, and she had to compete against Leah Thomas, you know, that man who was like 6 foot something and won first place, and then the NCAA honored him with Woman of the Year. Pisses me off so much, it should piss you off too. Anyway, we're going to hear from Riley after the break. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Lori in Manchester. You are live with Caroline Levitt. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Good. I was just calling. I had heard earlier on my way home that you were wanting New Hampshire folks to call in regards to Sununu's potential run for president. And I am just, I'm not surprised that he's doing it because he is so arrogant. And I think it's a disaster. And there's a lot of people that just don't realize who he is. He's stabbed his own party in the back time after time, yet they continue to bow down to, you know, what he does. He's running a Democratic playbook, and I actually had a friend of mine that he had arrested for saying the word amen mm-hmm. at an executive council meeting. You know, so it's like, why would you want someone like that to be the president? Because it's no different than having who we have currently in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lori brings up a few good points that I don't think a lot of people realize. Governor Sununu is certainly a more moderate Republican, and they've made some decisions recently that have pissed a lot of good conservatives off, such as the redistricting proposal that he vetoed, such as signing gender identity, a bill into law that protects gender identity as a protected class. So in New Hampshire, men can go into our bathrooms, they can be in our locker rooms, they can compete on our athletic teams. Which brings us back to the interview after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is Caroline Levitt on The Howie Carr Show.
Excuse me, it's ma'am.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Caroline Levitt filling in for Howie Carr on the Howie Carr Radio Network today. Happy Friday. So I have been very outspoken, as many of you know, against the radical left's push to allow men to compete in female athletics. Frankly, as a young woman and as a former athlete myself, it's deeply infuriating to me that men who are biologically superior to women, who have greater lung capacity, larger bone density, who are overall bigger and stronger since the beginning of time, are now allowed to compete against females who work so hard to get to the next level of their sport. And we've seen the modern day Democrat Party in America make this part of their major party platform. They are just neglecting all biological truth and fact, pushing it aside, appealing to emotion. Well, guess what? The beauty of fact is that it is objective. Facts do not care about your feelings. Men and women are different. I don't care how many hormones you take or surgeries you get. Men are men, women are women, and they should not be competing against each other in sport, especially at very high collegiate levels. Well, joining me now is a woman who has dealt with this. In America Today, Riley Gaines is a former NCAA Division I swimmer who made it to the highest level of her sport and then had to compete against a man who was on her swim team. She is speaking up. She is so courageous and beautiful and bold. Riley joins us now. Thank you so much for calling in, Riley.
Of course. Thank you so, so much, Caroline.
Amazing. Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation with you for a while. I'm glad it worked out today. And I want to ask you first, Riley. So you're on the University of Kentucky swim team. You are a Division I collegiate athlete. Kudos to you. I played D2. It was a lot of work. So God bless you for making it to that level. So when Leah Thomas, who was a man, changed his mind that he wanted to compete in the female swim team and he was your teammate, what happened? Did your coaches come to you and say, you guys have to accept this? What did U of Kentucky do? And how did you and your teammates react to that news?
Well, actually, how we found out, I'm sure as you can imagine, we weren't told. All of a sudden, this girl who we thought at the time was a girl started posting the fastest times in the nation by multiple seconds. In his senior year, I'll say her because at the time I thought it was a her, so I'll kind of use my language to when I realized it was a man. But at the time, this was a girl, her senior year, posting the fastest times in the nation in multiple events ranging from sprint freestyle all the way until the mile, which is, of course, distance. And so think about this in terms of running. This is like your best Olympic runner. You don't have your best 200-meter runner be your best marathon runner. But this is what we were seeing. Never once did it occur to me that this could be a man, just because I thought that was so far-fetched.
Right.
Until, of course, we realized an article was posted disclosing that Leah Thomas was formerly Will Thomas and swam 3 years on the men's side at University of Pennsylvania, to which I very quickly looked up who Will Thomas was and what he did to see if this was a lateral movement, to see if this was someone who went from ranking at the top to continuing to rank at the top. But what this was a mediocre man who went from ranking 462nd nationally at best to now trailing the women. And so we saw this. My coaches saw this. Of course, he's a coach of a men's and women's team, and he knows the differences between men and women. And we all agreed, everyone on my team. We talked about this amongst ourselves, and every single girl on the team, bar maybe two of the 40, share the exact same position that I'm sharing with you.
So everyone was against it. I'm sure you guys were all appalled and infuriated. And you worked so hard to earn your scholarship, to win. You're competing in the NCAAs. It's your senior season. And then you have to go up against a man. You swam against Leah Thomas, correct? In one of the competitions, the NCAA championship, I believe, right?
Yes. We raced in the 200 freestyle. And this was the day after Leah Thomas won the national title in the 500 freestyle. And almost impossibly enough, we tied, which now looking back, I see how God moved throughout this whole situation. But we went the exact same time down to the hundredth of a second.
Wow.
I think our time was 1 minute, 43 seconds, and 52 one-hundredths. But the worst part of this whole story, actually the second worst part, I think the locker room piece is the worst. But we tied. We go behind the awards podium, and the NCAA official looks at both Leah and I and says, great job. You guys tied, but Leah takes the trophy because Leah has to have it for pictures. Riley, you go home empty-handed.
Wow. So he was allowed to have this big photo shoot after tying you and then absolutely demolishing all of the other young women in the pool. And then he gets this big photo op and he's celebrated for beating up on a bunch of young girls.
And that's exactly how it felt. It felt like my life's work, not just my life's work, every girl competing at the top level. We've all spent our entire lives playing this sport. You don't just spend 10 years. It's 18 years. Mm-hmm. You start swimming when you're ages 4 and 5. And so everything that I had spent my entire life working for, it was reduced down to a photo op to validate the feelings and the self-perception of a male. And to be honest, it felt like betrayal. Of course, Title IX was supposed to stop discrimination on the basis of sex, but what we dealt with was, quite frankly, discrimination on the basis of sex.
And one could argue it's a violation of federal law, and so I hope that our House Republican majority and lawmakers in D.C. will step up to prevent this from ever happening again. So you talk about the competition side, but I've also seen comments you've made, Riley, about the uncomfortability of being in a locker room with Leah Thomas. And I saw comments you made that at one point he exposed his male genitalia to all of you young women in the locker room. Please go through that with us and how horrifying that experience must have been.
Again, probably not a surprise to anyone listening, but we were not forewarned we would be sharing a changing space. And let me kind of set the scene of what a swimming locker room looks like. It's not a place of modesty. I mean, these suits you're putting on, they're teeny tiny. It takes about 15 minutes to put them on because they're skin tight. You have to poke and prod and tuck yourself in them, really. And so I can't even describe, truthfully, I can't even describe the feelings of belittlement and embarrassment. And of course, this innate subconscious feeling to need to cover yourself. When a 6'4", 22-year-old man walks into a locker room full of naked women, pulls his pants down, and is watching others undress. I actually had a girl message me today who is a swimmer. She was in the same locker room, and she messaged me and said, I am just now making strides to gain my confidence back going into a locker room.
Wow.
It's traumatic. That's the word to use. It's traumatic.
Has Leah Thomas or any of the adults, I mean, you're an adult, the women on your team were adults, but, you know, the NCAA coaches, administrators.
The people who were supposed to be protecting us.
Right. Those that were supposed to be protecting us. Have any of them shown empathy to you and to your fellow swimmers for what happened to you? Or did they just completely pretend like all of this was okay, ignoring, again, all truths and biological reality?
Not publicly has anyone really given me anyone in authoritative roles like coaches or people within the NCAA. No one publicly has stood up to this, really. There's been a few coaches. I believe the coach at Rice University and Liberty University, they've taken a stance, of course, because these are Christian schools and they have common sense. But I've had so many people message me privately, mm-hmm. coaches, even the president of the NCAA himself, Mark Emmert, who doubled down on his stance publicly of allowing this to happen. But privately, he says to me, you know, we support you. Keep fighting. It's needed. And it's the irony of it all because he's the one we're fighting against.
Wait.
It's like,
so publicly, the president of the NCAA is all for this woke transgender agenda, but then privately, he's messaging you and saying, thanks for having the courage to speak up against men in our sport.
We actually, we participated in, so I was nominated for NCAA Woman of the Year last year, which is the highest collegiate honor for female athletes, but that was not exclusive to just women because Leah Thomas was also nominated. And so we went to the NCAA convention where they were announcing Woman of the Year, but not in support. We were there, of course, in protest of allowing men to compete in women's sports. And that's when the president walked up to a group of us, a part of the coalition who were there protesting, and he said, you know, keep doing what you guys are doing.
Wow.
Which is beyond frustrating. It shows the cowardice and the lack of authenticity and the lack of accountability that these people have.
Amen. Well, Riley, I can tell that you are not lacking courage. You have so much courage. You're speaking bravely, boldly, beautifully for so many young women and girls and athletes across this country. Keep doing it. Where can people find you if they want to hear more of your story, Riley? Quickly, your Twitter handle, your Instagram, where can listeners go to hear more about you?
Absolutely. My Twitter is Riley_Gaines_, and I'm now working for the Independent Women's Forum, and so you can go to www.iwf.org to learn more.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for speaking truth. Wow. What a horrifying experience. What a country we live in. And again, we have a president and a major political power party in power in this country right now that is pushing this stuff. We have the First Lady of the White House handing an award to a man to celebrate Women's History Month. Where are all the feminists now? Where are all the women who care about equal rights, my body, my choice, caring about women like Riley? Really powerful stuff. This is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show, and we will be right back.
Spring is here, and we're digging into new flavors with HelloFresh. HelloFresh takes the hassle out of mealtime with quality, pre-portioned ingredients and delicious recipes delivered right to your door. Caroline, you have used HelloFresh before, right?
I have used HelloFresh, and it's amazing.
Do you remember what you got?
They have...
I'm putting you on the spot right now.
You are. Whoa. I will admit, it was a couple years ago when I lived in D.C. in the crazy city, and I hated going to the D.C. grocery stores, but they have a wide variety of meals, tacos, as I remember, steak, dinners, mac and cheese, anything you want, really.
Just right to your door. No hassle, no... And I'm sure everything was easy to make. Easy to follow instructions. I mean, you're a gourmet chef.
I am a culinary artist, but HelloFresh, I can tell you, it is fresh. Like, the veggies come, they're fresh. The meat is good. The fish is good.
It's pretty much all farm-to-table stuff.
Yep, I highly recommend it, seriously.
You can power up with protein smart options like one-pot pork and black bean chili or creamy Dijon dill chicken, each with 30 grams or more of protein. They have other options if you're not watching, your healthy intake so much. They've got much more indulgent options for you. Quality ingredients are picked at peak ripeness and travel from the farm to your door in less than 7 days. That's fresh. With costs of groceries going up and up and everything else, really, to be frank, it's the perfect time to get started with HelloFresh. In fact, HelloFresh is cheaper than groceries and 25% cheaper than takeout. Plus, pre-portioned ingredients can cut back on food waste as well. So sign up today for 60% off. You're not going to get a deal like that anywhere else. 60% off plus free shipping with code Howie60 at HelloFresh.com/Howie60. That's code Howie60 at HelloFresh.com/Howie60.
It's not easy being number one.
It's so lonely at the top of Olympus. More women! More wine!
Howie will be right back after this short break.
Come on, T-Dope. I want to do my share of the work.
Work!
Howie Carr is back.
Some happy Friday music on this very happy Friday. This is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. I want to take your calls for the last few minute here. So call in. We have Sven. Sven, you are live with Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Caroline. About your last interview with the woman who competed against the guy who wants to be a woman now, how come you never asked her why they didn't just not compete and walk off?
Well, I mean, it's a point. I see your point, Sven. I see what you're trying to say, that if all of these women joined together and had a protest and then Leah Thomas was just left in the pool by herself, there would be no competition. But I think at the time, right, they all were just kind of trying to make, I don't want to speak for her, but my opinion, they were all just trying to make sense of this situation and grapple with the fact that this was a guy. They were trying to do their best. And, you know, having been an athlete myself, when you work so hard to get to that level, especially in college, the last thing you want to do is give up that moment, right? You don't know if the NCAA is ever going to give you another chance to compete. So they're just going to forfeit their own championship in which they've worked so hard to get, especially in their senior year. It's their last final moment. So I don't know if that's the solution. Why should 90% of these girls or 99.9% of these girls forfeit their one moment for one dude for 0.01%? It should have been the other way around, but I see what you're saying. How about Zebra? You are live up in Manchester. Zebra. Zebra.
I like their pronunciation. Full disclosure, I am a Leavitt for Congress supporter, so take that. I want to say that up front. I got an answer for that guy that just called. Riley has inspired others, and I'll tell them what happened. A Vermont school just said that they wouldn't play basketball against a trans woman just earlier this month, and Vermont's reaction was to ban the school from all sports afterwards.
First of all, thanks for the support, Zebra. And the Republicans and I guess conservatives, and this is where lawmakers need to step in, good-hearted lawmakers, I don't even care what party you are, it's people that agree with common sense, need to step in and do just that, but for the opposite case, right? So federal lawmakers, and this is one of the issues I ran on in my campaign, and again, thanks for your support, I pledged that if I was in Congress, I was going to introduce federal legislation, not just to reinvigorate Title IX, because they're already violating that, so that wouldn't matter, but you have to threaten the dollar signs. And I would have proposed legislation to threaten the federal dollars for any publicly funded, taxpayer-funded college, university, or public school that allows men to compete against women or be in their locker rooms, period. If you are going to blatantly violate federal law, Title IX, which has been signed in for decades, then you're not going to get the federal dollars that you need to sustain your school and your programs. And I was looking forward to drafting that legislation. Unfortunately, Chris Pappas is there instead, and we know he won't be supporting that. Steve from Cambridge, you are live on the Howie Carr Show.
Caroline, for the last 40 years, women have been getting special treatment over men in the corporate world, academia, government programs, broadcasting. So I can't be all that sympathetic to them when a handful of transgenders win a few sports races. They've gotten so many privileges over the last year over men that I think that's so far more unfair.
Interesting take. Okay, Steve. Joanne from New Hampshire, Howie Carr Show live.
Hi, Caroline. So I have like you, my son was a collegiate athlete. So I actually saw transgenders compete in track. And there was a guy who was running as a woman. And physically, you could see the muscle upon muscle. And, of course, he blew past everybody. And I listened to Riley, and her speech was so powerful. And so my question to you and your listeners is, where are the feminists? Why aren't they in an uproar? Where are the female athletes? There can't be just one Riley Grimes, you know, having a stance on this. And it just boggles my mind. And we go back to in high school, these guys are taking spots that these female athletes could possibly get a scholarship to. And, you know, first, second, third, if you're truly first, but now you're second or third, you're going to knock somebody out of that hierarchy.
Right. Well, thank you, Joanne, for sharing that, to know that your son was, you witnessed this and you saw these men. So unfair, so cruel. I know you guys have a lot of thoughts on it. This is Caroline Levitt on the Howie Carr Show. Before I go, I need to play one audio. I got a laugh, or one clip. I got a laugh out of it today. Taylor, can you please play cut 7? This is AOC having an absolute hissy fit. Oh, Taylor's crashing my party. Well, maybe Jess will play it for you. That's it for me today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Caroline Levitt, I'll be back soon. Have a great weekend.